Hey, you guys, welcome to Flickers of Fear. Now, remember a few months ago, I think it was March when I did like a theme, I did like Monster March, and I think I said back then that I wasn't going to do a theme for a couple of months because there was a bunch of movies that I wanted to catch up on, but that I would eventually get around to doing some themes again. Well, that time has now arrived because now we're in July, and I was actually going to do this last month, but then I was like, well, it still works for this month too. So this month, we're going to do Giallo July. So we're going to do all the Flickers of Fear are going to be giallo movies, ones that I haven't covered so far. So hopefully y'all are as excited about it as I am, because yeah, I'm really into this. Now, most of the ones that I'm going to do are going to be, you know, giallo era ones, like from the 70s and stuff, but there are a couple of new ones in there, including the one that I'm talking about today. Now, if you don't know, I mean, most of you know me, right? So you know that I am like a massive, massive fan of giallo movies. Just the whole vibe of them, the whole look of them. It just like takes me to a happy place. I don't even know what it is about them. There's just something I really, really like about them and always have. So as much as I love, you know, all the old ones, all the classics and stuff like that, I will say that I can't help but have a little squeal of excitement whenever a modern filmmaker shares my obsession with giallo movies enough that they're like, okay, well, I'm gonna make like a modern day giallo movie. Like whether it's full on giallo or whether it's just kind of like giallo tinged, that's fine with me. I just love that whole aesthetic. So I think I've covered like a few other, I guess what would be considered like neo giallo movies on this series before. In Fabric, which is fantastic. Barbarian Sound Studio, The Neon Demon, which I guess is sort of like, at least has that similar kind of aesthetic, even though it's not strictly a giallo. And I don't think I talked about it on Flickers of Fear, but I think we talked about it a long time ago on Matinee, but there was a movie that came out, it's Canadian, and it came out back in 2014, which is called The Editor, and it's like a giallo parody / loving homage, and it's fantastic. I fucking love that movie. So I think it's on Tubi now if you want to watch that one. I might cover that one too again, like at some point, because like I said, I think we talked about it on Matinee, but I wouldn't mind doing like a deeper dive on it. The thing about a lot of neo giallo movies though, is that while a lot of them sort of take the aspects of giallo that everybody knows and loves, like, you know, their twisty murder mysteries, they have these really lurid, like, striking color palettes, kind of bloody, grotesque, operatic kind of kills. They have, like, jarring, you know, bizarre musical scores, that kind of stuff. But a lot of them either put the story, like, in a modern setting and just give it, like, a giallo-tinged flavor, or they set them in the past, such as Barbarian Sound Studio, but you can still tell that they're modern movies. Like I said, Barbarian Sound Studio is set back then, like, it's about, like, the filming of a giallo movie, but you can still tell that it's a modern movie. So it's much rarer, I think, to see a present-day giallo movie, or, you know, at least in the last decade or so, that's actually making every effort to look like an actual lost giallo film from back in the genre's heyday, like, of the 1970s. So in comes Argentinian brothers, Luciano and Nicholas Onetti. Now, these two guys, one's a director, one's a screenwriter, so they work together. These two guys love giallo movies so much that pretty much 90% of their filmmaking aesthetic, because I think they've made a couple other types of movies too, but most of their filmmaking aesthetic is to try to make movies that look spookily like giallo movies that could have come out in the early 1970s. They made one in 2013 called Sonno Profondo, or Deep Sleep. Now, I haven't seen that one yet, but I looked at the poster, like the cover for it, and the cover of it looks exactly like something you would have seen advertising like one of Dario Argento's movies, like Four Flies on Grey Velvet or something like that. The design is just, it's amazing. I love it. So I'm going to have to like watch that one too. So then in 2015, they made Francesca, which is the movie that we're talking about right here. This movie looks so much like a 70s era giallo movie that it just delighted the shit out of me from the very first frame. Also, the poster art for this one is rad as hell. I totally want a print of that. I couldn't find one on Amazon. I'm sure somebody sells them because the poster art is just beautiful. I mean, it's amazing. Everything that, you know, is sort of like classic to the genre is here. There's the killer with the leather gloves on. super saturated colors and like all these kind of weird, you know, angles and stuff like that. These real queasy, like, close-ups of inanimate objects, like doll heads and stuff like that. Big shiny knife blades and spikes and that kind of stuff. Whole thing about childhood trauma, like some stuff from childhood coming back to, like, haunt you nowadays. It even has, like, the same font, like, for the credits, like, the opening credits that a lot of the old giallo movies use. I mean, it's spot on. Also, the bad out-of-sync, like, Italian dubbing, they did that too. The ubiquitous bottles of J&B that are, like, in the background, like, in people's offices and apartments and stuff, which is what, it's funny, because that's one thing I always noticed, like, in GL movies. I'm like, oh my god, they always have, like, J&B. I don't know if it's because that's just, like, a really common, you know, liquor to have in Italy, or if because the label's yellow. I don't really know what the deal is, but they all have, like, bottles of J&B in the background, and they did that too. Like, everybody's apartments, they always had a J&B. I was just like, I see what you did there. I see what you did there. It's uncanny. It's uncanny, like, how much this looks like it. There's even been, like, some kind of filter or film grain or something like that, like, to make the movie look, like, not shitty, but you can tell it very much looks like a movie that would have come out back then. Like, it looks a little bit rough, but not like in a fakey sort of way, if that makes any sense. It's really incredible how much attention to detail went into making Francesca look as much like a giallo from decades ago as possible. And I was totally there for it. I was like, as soon as it started, I was just kind of like, oh yeah, okay, I see what you're doing. So all that's great, Jenny, you might be saying, but what the fuck is this movie about? Now, in the tradition of all the classics of the genre, it's a murder mystery. So you have, like, a bunch of red herrings, you have people with, like, really shifty motivations, you have seemingly nonsensical plot threads, and all of that other kind of stuff that you would sort of expect from a film of this kind. Please note, however, that like many of the giallo movies from the olden times, if you want to call it that, the plot isn't the most important aspect of the movie. Don't get me wrong, there is one, like, there is a plot, and it does make sense, like, when the mystery is resolved, but on the whole, I would kind of advise, if you're going to watch this, go into it more as, like, a sensory experience, because the visuals are really gorgeous. It has, like, this really unsettling score and, like, really creepy, like, sound design, and just the overall, like, ambiance of it is just, like, so, so cool. But like I said, there is a mystery, there is a plot and stuff like that, so it's not like it's just completely plotless, but I don't think that that's really the main selling feature for it. Also note that there is some dialogue wherever necessary, but it's pretty sparse, you know what I mean? Like, there'll be, like, several, like, long sequences where nobody talks, where it's just kind of like, you know what I mean? So there's that kind of stuff too. So at the very beginning of the movie, we're introduced to the Visconti family, which is the mom, whose name is Nina, I think, the dad, whose name is Vittorio, the daughter, Francesca, who looks like she's about maybe like 11 or 12, I couldn't really tell, and there's like a baby boy, like in this little baby carriage. Now, from the jump, you know that the kid, Francesca, is a bit of a miscreant, because the first time you see her, she's stabbing, like, a dead bird, like a pigeon or something like that, like a bird's corpse with a big silver spike, and, like, laughing about it, like, yay, wee, destruction, you know what I mean? So it's that kind of situation. Then shit escalates prodigiously when, not too long after that, she actually uses the same spike to stab her baby brother right in the fucking eyeball. So, you know, as soon as her mom's back is turned, she just goes in there, wait, wee! Yeah, somebody stabs a baby, like, in the first 5 minutes of this fucking movie. So there you go. It's a giallo. So then, like, you kind of have the mom screaming and screaming, obviously, as you would. Now, after this kind of opening sequence, we jump ahead 15 years. And we subsequently learn that Francesca was apparently kidnapped by a masked home invader not too long after the whole baby stabbing incident. And she's been missing ever since. Like, there's been no clue as to her whereabouts. Francesca's dad, Vittorio, was stabbed in the spine, like, during the attack. He was kind of trying to rescue her, apparently, and so, but the attacker, like, stabbed him in the back, in the spine. So he's now confined to a wheelchair. Nina, the mom, understandably has never really recovered from this whole tragedy, not only the baby stabbing, but also then the daughter disappearing. So she's like pretty much checked out. She just kind of like lays in bed. She has this like 1,000-yard stare. You know, the dad comes in and like gives her medication every now and then. So it's not a good situation. Meanwhile, on the streets of Rome, there begins to be a series of murders perpetrated by a mysterious killer who leaves like rare coins on the eyes of the victims and plants these sort of like cut up ransom style notes near the bodies that have quotes from Dante's Divine Comedy on them. Now, the first murder, which is like a young woman, and she's just like left in the middle of the day, like in the fucking middle of a public park. And this older woman who's in the park walking her dog, like sees the killer dumping the victim. And she describes the killer to the cops as like, it looked like a woman like clad in a kind of reddish orange jacket, some reddish orange leather gloves, a black skirt, and a black hat and veil, which covered the face. So you couldn't see who they were. Now, as the bodies start to pile up, the two detectives who are assigned to the case, named Succo and Moretti, I think, they start to realize that most of the victims had some kind of like secret or some kind of scandal in their past, like it was adultery or something like that, like along those lines. And they also start to slowly realize that the killings actually might be linked to the disappearance of Francesca Visconti 15 years ago. Now, because her dad, Vittorio, is a Dante scholar or a medieval, you know, whatever, maybe like medieval literature scholar or whatever. So the police actually bring him in on the investigation when they figure out that these notes are from Dante or from Divine Comedy. So they bring him in on the investigation. Now, as the movie goes on, it seems pretty clear who the killer is, but I will say that the plot actually does have a couple of surprises up its sleeve. It really is quite good at misdirecting, I think, because honestly, I sort of figured it out, but not exactly. And like the twist at the end, I don't even know if I want to call it a twist necessarily, but when it happened at the end, I was just like, oh, okay, I didn't see that coming. So, you know, maybe smarter people than me would, but I did not see it coming. So I was like, okay, I see what you did there. So, okay, that's good. Now, I also want to say too, that if you're going to watch it, like make sure that you watch until after the credits are over, because there's like a little like post-credit, like a little creepy kind of scene at the end, little bonus scene. So I'm going to say if you're into like the old school giallo movies, you will probably love this and you will just like squee with delight. It'd be like, oh my God, like somebody made this like in 2015 and it looks just like an old movie from like 1972. It's amazing. I mean, it's an almost dead on recreation of just a classic movie from that time period. It's just like eerie, like how well they sort of like mocked it up. You know what I mean? It's crazy. I mean, just the artistry behind it, this whole like meticulous theming that they did, like everything that's in it, like all of the backgrounds, all the clothing, it's like everything like that is just like perfect. I mean, it's just the whole thing. I was just the whole time I was just like in awe. I'm like, wow, that's like, that is such commitment. And I love that. Now, I will say, though, that for those that aren't really all that versed in the sort of visual or auditory language of the giallo subgenre, then I don't know if you'll get as much out of it. You know, like it might kind of be a harder sell for somebody like that. If you're not really familiar with a lot of like giallo type tropes, or if you haven't seen a bunch of other giallo movies, you might not appreciate it as much, but I don't really know because I'm not coming at it from that place. So it's, you know, what do I know? Maybe people might still like it anyway, just for being like a weird ass, you know, retro throwback kind of flick. And it's still a mystery, you know what I mean? You know, and the mystery is decent and it's pretty well constructed. But I will say that, like, the look and feel of the movie is really where it shines, which, like I said, I kind of feel like that's true of a lot of classic giallos as well. But the whole vibe of it, it's just so, like, otherworldly, and it was like really dreamlike. It was almost like watching a movie almost from another dimension, kind of. It was just, you know what I mean? It's like really hard to like put my finger on just like the whole vibe of it, but I got like really swept up in it, and it's just gorgeous looking. Like I said, this is one you really have to like sit and like watch it, because, you know, there is a mystery, there is exposition and stuff, but there's not a huge amount of dialogue, and a lot of it is conveyed through visuals, so you really do have to like pay attention. So I mean, I really liked this a lot, so I'll definitely be checking out the Onetti brothers' other movies. There was an interview with them in Rue Morgue, like, a couple years back, and I just, like, read that before I did this, and it's like, they seem like really nice dudes. Their other movies, like, aside from Sono Profondo, which I already mentioned, they also made another giallo. I think it was in 2018, although I'm not sure if it got a wider release until 2019 or 2020, but that's called Abracadabra, like, with a K. And they've also kind of, like, branched out, and they did, in 2017, they made, I guess it was, like, a more traditional slasher, like a really gory slasher, that was called What the Waters Left Behind. So I might want to check that one out as well, because I've also heard that was really good. I mean, I'm just always so ecstatic when I kind of come across new to me, at least, like, artists whose stuff that, like, I vibe with so much. So I'm really glad that I sort of, like, stumbled across this film. I can't even remember. I think I saw it. I was looking for examples of Neo Giallo, like, new Giallo movies, and it turned up on some list somewhere, and I was like, oh, that sounds good. And then I saw that it was on Tubi, so I wrote it down on my list. I was like, oh yeah, I gotta check that out. And the poster is incredible. I love it. So I was just kind of like, I'm really, really glad that I sort of stumbled across it. And then when I found out that they'd made a couple other Giallo movies as well, so I'm definitely gonna have to check those out. I mean, Abracadabra sounds awesome, like, because that's also a giallo, but it's about, like, it's a magician, and I was just kind of like, ooh, magic, it's, oh, that's cool, I'm gonna have to, like, watch that too. So yeah, I'm totally gonna watch that. I think it's only $1.99 on Amazon Prime, so I might be getting into that. But yeah, if you're really into giallo movies, definitely check it out. It's just, like, so amazing, like, how well they recreated, like, the whole, like, vibe of it, and I was just there for it. I thought it was so cool. But yeah, so, anyway, hopefully you guys will want to see some more, like, giallo movies, because July, we're doing all giallo movies this month on the Flickers of Fear show, so hopefully you'll tune in for the rest of those, and I will see you on the next one. Bye.